is the Lions Unchained podcast, where the shackles of your mind are broken. There comes a time when we either embrace the truth or remain in darkness forever. The Lions Unchained podcast offers you the light of God's truth. The rest is up to you. Join Carl Joseph now for a powerful, life-changing word.
Friend, there's a war coming soon in the Middle East that will cause God himself to rain down hailstones and fire upon the invading armies who've come to take spoil from God's beloved Israel, and a great earthquake that will annihilate them in their tracks. Now, what if I told you there are preparations being made right now for this future conflict? But as I've said before, we, the church, will never see it come to pass, because this war of Gog and Magog fits the prophetic timeline only when the church or restrainer has been removed from the earth prior to the seven-year tribulation period. Yet even today, the nations are ready, the pieces on the chessboard are being moved into place, causing a chain reaction that will hurl like-minded nations headlong into direct conflict with Israel. Now let me share the source text with you today. I'm of course talking about the infamous War of Gog and Magog spoken of in chapters 37 through 39 from the prophetic book of Ezekiel, which many of you are familiar with, I'm sure. Now friend, these terms, what are they? This Gog and Magog exactly, what does it represent? What on earth is a Gog and what exactly is a Magog? All right. Well, they are first and foremost spiritual entities, not physical representatives, in my opinion. I believe this war is conceived in the spiritual realm firstly, and we see the manifestation of its conception in the natural realm. Remember, the spiritual realm is the causal realm, and the natural realm is the effectual realm. But what's interesting is that in my old town of London, England, each year there's a Lord Mayor's Parade, ever since the reign of Henry V, in which Gog and Magog, the so-called protectors of the city of London, are paraded around in effigy. This tradition continues year after year. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 8, Gog and Magog are identified as they fight on the side of Satan in the very final battle against God. But if you look at the text, they are sent out to the four corners of the earth to gather the nations after the millennial reign of Christ for one last battle. So I sincerely believe these two names represent spiritual entities that impact physical leaders on the earth. In Scripture, Gog is mentioned as the leader, and Magog is a people. Gog is the ruler of a people called Magog and the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. Now one day this Gog will lead a coalition of nations arrayed against Israel, and God will destroy them all in the process. Few realize that Ezekiel's prophecy of this coming invasion from the north of Israel was written 2,500 years ago and is yet to come to pass, friend. It is still a future event. So where is Magog exactly? Charles Ryrie notes that, and I quote, Magog was identified as the land of the Scythians, now occupied by Russia, the Ukraine, and Kazakhstan. Now, according to Mark Hitchcock, the renowned end-time biblical scholar, he spent much time investigating historical texts and notable commentators, like Flavius Josephus, who described the ancient Scythians as coming from the land of Magog. Now, the Scythians were mentioned in the New Testament in Colossians 3:11 and were a barbaric race which inhabited the steppes of Russia. Today, Magog would basically cover the Stan nations. In other words, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Uzbekistan, Turkmenistan, Tajikistan, and finally Afghanistan, which is another territory that Russia has sought to conquer in recent memory. In addition, Charles Ryrie, Arnold Fruchtenbaum, and the Scofield Reference Bible declare Magog to be the land of modern-day Russia, and we shouldn't doubt their extensive research. Now, most scholars conclude that Rosh is the old name for Russia. Mark Hitchcock also discovered that the term Rosh was used in the time of the Egyptians and referenced a nation to the far north of Egypt. So people would have been very familiar with Rosh as a nation in Ezekiel's time and knew exactly what he was talking about. As I've said, many believe, and I do too, that Rosh is the old name for present-day Russia, which will lead several armies into coalition against Israel. Now, regarding the term Gog, Mark goes on to explain that Gog is more likely a title like Pharaoh rather than a direct name of someone. But this Gog is not to be confused with the Antichrist. He is separate and distinct from him. Let's not forget, friend, that the Antichrist will eventually lead a Western coalition. But this Gog is leading an army from the north, along with Magog, in direct opposition to God himself. So the Antichrist and Gog are two separate leaders and not to be confused with each other. So, now, I'm going to list for you all the nations that will come against Israel in these last days as part of this coalition of forces coming down from the north and described in Ezekiel chapters 37 through 39. I will give you the old name for the nation and the equivalent modern-day version. Starting with Gog, the leader of Magog, representing Ukraine and Western Russia, along with Rosh, which is Russia. Then we have Meshech and Tubal, which comprises of modern-day Turkey. Then Persia, also known as Iran. Then Ethiopia and Kush, which would be the Sudan. Then Put, which is Libya. Then Goma, which is likely Turkey or modern-day Germany. And finally Beth Togarmah, which many believe to be Turkey as well. So in summary, the nations that will invade Israel in the coming tribulation period from the north will be Russia, Ukraine, Turkey, Iran, Ethiopia, Sudan, and maybe Somalia as well, Libya, and finally Germany. But why? Why would they even consider doing such a thing? Well, one thing is for certain. Russia has had a long history of anti-Semitism, along with the other nations I just listed for you. They have all historically harbored a supernatural hatred for Israel, and that's why Germany is included on that list as a potential invader in coalition. Now, regarding Russia, have you ever noticed this nation has been on the rise of late? Russia has flexed its muscles recently on the world stage for sure. Russia firstly meddled with Georgia in 2008, then again in Crimea in 2014, where it annexed the nation, testing the boundaries of the old Soviet Union. Russia then backed separatists in eastern Ukraine in 2014, and Russia has also been linked with the deaths of 298 people, based upon a Dutch inquiry into the disappearance of a Malaysia Airlines flight over the Ukraine. Based on cell phone records and eyewitness accounts as part of the investigation, a powerful SA-11 surface-to-air missile was used to shoot down the plane, much to everyone's horror. Then in 2015, Russia sent some armed forces to Iran and then into Syria to assist the Syrian leader Bashar al-Assad's crumbling regime. To top that, for the first time, Russia has finally attained the warm water port it's desired in the Mediterranean Sea for years, and that port is Tarsus. Friend, Russia has a large presence in Syria right now, taking advantage of the nation's instability and using it as a potential beachhead for further advancement in the Middle East. The trouble is Russia now has a military presence situated directly north of Israel for the first time, and this is prophetically significant. If you run a straight line from Israel on any globe, you will see that Moscow is directly north of it, along with Turkey, which will be one of the invading nations as well. Now, some believe this war of Gog and Magog will take place in the first half of the tribulation period, while others believe it will be merely another account of the Battle of Armageddon. Yet I personally believe it will occur prior to Armageddon and within the tribulation, because it occurs at a time of peace when the peace treaty with Israel is in full effect. Ezekiel chapter 38 describes a time when Israel is at peace with its surrounding neighbors, and this coming conflict fits the prophetic timeline of occurring during the tribulation period once this future peace treaty is in effect. Now, one of the most intriguing aspects of this coming war in verse 4 of Ezekiel 38 is the fact that the army is riding from the north on horseback. Yes, you heard it, horseback. These horsemen have shields, swords, and helmets. But of course, today, no army would fight like that. This intriguing statement infers that perhaps due to the cataclysmic incidents in the tribulation period, man will revert back to ancient weaponry. Others believe it suggests the usage of an electromagnetic pulse prior to this war, in which some of the modern weaponry would have been rendered useless, leaving only ancient weaponry as the means for attack. Or could these terms simply be metaphors for modern weapons? We don't know. In Ezekiel 39, verses 9 through 10, it mentions that it will take 7 years for the weapons to be gathered and used as fuel. Could this time frame of 7 years be coincidental with the time it takes for the effects of radiation to dissipate? We shall see. Remember, Israel is described as a land of unwalled villages at this time, a land without walls, where Israel dwells safely, without gates or bars. But as you know, Israel today has walls in place, and some built recently, for its protection against occasional terror attacks from the Palestinian territory. Based on this scripture, we know this war of Gog and Magog is a future event, and the walls currently standing in Israel will somehow be removed, and Israel will be living peacefully prior to this northern invasion. Now, in verses 12 and 13, it states that these invading marauders have come to take a spoil. But what spoil are they talking about? Now, having worked in the oil industry for 20 years, I may have more insight into this than most. In the past few years, Israel has gone from a nation with very few oil and gas resources into one that could potentially rival Russia as an exporter of natural gas to Europe. Russia benefits greatly from its export of gas west to Europe, topping the list of nations having the most natural gas reserves. But Israel recently discovered the Leviathan gas field, 50 kilometers offshore, having 22 trillion standard cubic feet of gas, and scheduled to come online in 2019. Then it has Tamar gas field, holding 9 TCF gas reserves. These discoveries have been described as game changers by those in the oil industry. Their discovery, alongside another recent oil field for Israel, having 1.4 billion barrels of oil, has caused a stir on the geopolitical scene. As I've said, for the first time, Israel could become a competitor with Russia, vying to service the winter energy supply of the European continent. This is significant. Could it be that Russia and the forces it's allied with come to strip Israel of its oil and gas resources? We shall see. Russia is rich in gas, but it has hard to recover oil that's only economic at higher oil prices. Did you also know that despite being the biggest country in the world in terms of land mass, Russia has a relatively small population of close to 150 million, but it needs to import 40% of its food supply, meaning that it cannot currently produce enough food for its own people. In Ezekiel 38 verse 4, it says that God himself will put hooks in the jaws of the invaders from the north. So friend, what do we do with our jaw primarily? Other than talk, we chew food. I sincerely believe that one of the spoils mentioned in Ezekiel's passage is food, and during the tribulation period, crops will no doubt fail throughout Russia, which is already reliant upon other countries to feed its population. It will have to resort to looking for food down south. Another reason for this hook could well be the desire for Islamic nations headed up by Russia to wipe Israel off the map. If you review the nations I mentioned earlier, they are largely Islamic and harbor an intense hatred for Israel. Could it be that the peace treaty that the Antichrist initiates with Israel be thwarted by the Islamic nations at the last minute, or perhaps Russia is in such dire need to ensure the survival of its people, they need food so badly, justifying an invasion to the south? Friend, we could debate all day long about what is to come in the near future, but by observing Russia's increasing presence in the Middle East, alarm bells should be going off for us, showing that we're very close to the return of Jesus Christ. The rapture, my friend, is imminent, meaning it could happen at any time, and there are no remaining signs that need to be fulfilled in order for it to transpire. Behold, our Lord comes quickly. Get ready, my friend, and look up, for your redemption draws nigh.
You've been listening to Carl Joseph and the Lions Unchained podcast. Carl is a minister who's witnessed God's supernatural power to save, heal, and deliver. Carl is a unique researcher who investigates current affairs, societal trends, technology, cults, and end time events, all through a biblical lens. Every Monday, new podcasts are uploaded, so stay tuned for the next opportunity to roar into victory. Check out carljosephministries.com for exciting articles, teachings, and discussion points. See you next week. And don't forget to hit the subscribe button.